Chapter 28, A Ping. Amy and Georgia were ecstatic when Uncle Louie told them about the new adoption plans. Babies? They blurted out happily, hugging each other on the school stairs. Who gets them? Charlie wanted to know. You can sign up right here, Uncle Louie said, holding up a piece of paper. These baby animals are so little that they will require a couple weeks of intensive care. You'll need to feed them every 2 or 3 hours, change their bedding, give them lots of love. Don't sign up unless you're prepared to dedicate yourself to the task. Almost every young lady rushed to the sign-up sheet. Lima and Franz had no interest. Odin and Ponzi were still asleep in bed, but the other guys were eager to be involved. While many of the young teens signed up for puppies or kittens, Charlie and Vahid wanted a calf and were willing to look after 40 more chickens for the farm. Eggs were an important commodity in paradise. Kenzie was eager to look after the lambs. Zahir chose the squirrels, Nancy picked rabbits, and Amy, Georgia, and Lily wanted pet birds. What kind of a bird? Damien asked as they left school that day to trade for lunch at the store. A lorikeet, Amy said. They are so pretty. I'm hoping it will want to sit on my shoulder. Cool, he replied. I'm getting a puppy, a golden puppy. I hope it will be just like Zahir's. The rest of that week, school focused on animal care and training. Charlie brought Maxie to all the lessons, and Zahir brought Fredo. Nancy would have liked her cat to join in, but Ripple kept returning to the forest. She preferred to spend her time stalking the squirrels. Cats aren't nearly as cooperative as dogs, Nancy had to concede. Uncle Louie was feeling quite tired that week, as almost every night a number of tinies would come to his cabin unable to sleep. Sitting with them in the dark on his couch, talking through the accident and the images they struggled to forget, was helpful counseling, but it was only a benefit for those who sought it out. Odin and a few of the others didn't seek help, and Uncle Louie was too weary to impose it upon them. Often the Tinies would go back to their homes, but Amy, Georgia, Yuyan, and Lily often fell asleep cuddled up to him on the couch. Uncle Louie didn't sleep so well sitting up. With all the ongoing drama at night, it was helpful that the morning classes were on the easy topic of pet care and handling. He taught them how to train an animal to come when it was called, to praise it for good behavior, and let it know when it had misbehaved. They practiced on Charlie and Zahir's dogs. Time after time, Fredo responded much more quickly than Maxie. Fredo loved attention and would do anything for a little praise and tasty treats, especially Nancy's bread. Maxie was very distracted by smells and noises and not nearly so eager to please. On the last day of animal care classes, the Beach Boys invited everyone to come watch their first surfing show. They rushed off right after school was over to set up with Georgia and Kenzie. All the others followed Zahir and Vahid to wash their hands by the outhouse, and then they went to the store to trade for lunch. Lunch was a surprise. Look, it's a little kitty, Vanitha cried out with delight, coming out of the store with her bread roll. Sure enough, Nancy had made the bread rolls look like a kitten face, pinching the dough to look like pointed ears with bits of fruit embedded for eyes and grass for whiskers. That's so dumb, Ponzi complained when he and Odin showed up yawning. He handed in 3 small pretty rocks that he'd mined for a kitty bun. Odin had a flat rock. Everyone else was delighted with the cute faces. As usual, the teens found a place to sit on the store deck stairs to enjoy the bread. Water was always free, but those with extra supplies to trade often picked up Amy's freshly squeezed orange juice instead. While everyone was still enjoying their kitty rolls, the cymbal clanged and the shakers could be heard, an indication that the Beach Boys were ready. Showtime! Amy called out to the other tinies. Charlie quickly passed around some fresh bananas to all the teenagers who had given an hour to help him weed the grass out of the garden. I'm bringing the rest of the bananas to the show, he told Santa, picking up his half-full basket. The trees are loaded. Amy had spent her lunchtime making soup in the store kitchen to give the Beach Boys. It was squash soup, and she had added apple to it for extra sweetness. She thought it was delicious. Putting it into a big glass jar, she screwed on the lid. Nancy dashed out ahead of her with 3 fresh kitty buns. Aside from Odin and Ponzi, all of Paradise turned out for the first surfing demonstration. The Tinies placed their offerings in the bin that Zahir had built to hold the goods they received, and then sat down on the long pier. Dangling their legs in the cool water, they finished off their lunches. Amy sat down beside Georgia and Vahid. Zahir arrived soon after, but he didn't put anything in the bin. Uncle Louis had given him and Kenzie free passes to everything that week, since they had both worked so hard to remove the bump on the hill. It had taken 5 afternoons, but finally, the job was done. Damien, Franz, and Lima sat on the end of the pier, ready to begin.
"Look at the balloon," Amy said, pointing in Damien's direction. "I wonder what he will do with it this time."
Damien had attached a large round balloon to his surfboard using the fuzzy pipe cleaners. The bright red balloon was big and round, filled with air, and he was holding the closed end of it tightly.
"Those guys are always coming up with something new," Zahir replied. "And I know how they blow it up so big."
"Really?" Amy asked, very attentive.
"I'll show you sometime," Zahir told her. "I saw them holding a balloon over the breeze holes at the edge of paradise."
Damien signaled it was time to begin. Kenzie clanged his cymbals together, and Georgia shook the shakers extra hard, and the show began. While Lima and Franz plunged into the water on their boards to swim out to the waves, Damien stood up on his and loosened his hold on the end of the balloon. Immediately, with a sharp, spluttering noise, the balloon propelled him across the water far ahead of his friends. He zipped across the lake as though he was riding a go-kart down the hill. When the balloon fizzled out, Damien caught a wave and rode it into shore. Everyone was clapping and cheering for Damien as he picked up his board and ran back into the water. He began swimming out to the big waves while Lima and Franz stood up on their boards. Far out in the deep water, they had something new to perform as well. Instead of just riding waves like they normally did, they pulled off a few flips. Franz was only able to do one and then went face first into the water. But the audience enjoyed the mistakes almost as much as the perfectly performed flips. Lima managed to do two. As the boys were swimming out for one more demonstration, Amy heard a distant ping. She and Charlie turned to look toward the North Forest.
"Ha, it's just Odin and Ponzi fooling around," Kenzie muttered.
"I've never heard a ping before," Amy worried. Zahir agreed. "Want to go investigate?" he asked. "Okay," she nodded, "as soon as the show is over." Everyone stayed till the end of the surfing show and clapped enthusiastically when it was done. The Beach Boys were getting better and better at their stunts. When the applause began to die down, Amy and Zahir raced off in the direction of the noise. It wasn't often that Amy or any of the other Tawnies ventured near Odin and Ponzi's hideout. Amy stopped quickly when she saw a big, round object dangling from a tree. It had 8 skinny legs. She let out a cry of surprise. Zahir laughed and poked it with his finger. Made from black pipe cleaners, it twirled around on a string, but it had no other reaction. He reached out and slapped it hard. "Don't worry," he smiled as it swung back and forth. "It's just a fake spider." They could hear Odin and Ponzi discussing how to make the pebbles shoot further. Zahir ran through the woods and Amy followed him slowly, trying to avoid other black dangling creatures. Fake or not, they were creepy looking.
"What are you guys up to?" she heard Zahir ask.
"Did you hear that last one?" Odin laughed. "That was our best yet." Amy caught up to Zahir. "Did you hit something?" she questioned the gloating experimenters.
"Maybe," Ponzi chuckled. "If we did, it was something up there."
He pointed in a sideways, upward fashion. Amy looked at the pot the young teens were using. They had given Vanitha rocks for her garden in exchange for a custom-ordered pot. The large clay jar in front of Ponzi was very wide at the bottom with only a small opening at the top. Ponzi was holding a lid on the jar. Zahir tried to get closer to see what exactly the guys were blasting into the air, but Odin stopped him. "Top secret stuff going on here," he said. "No one is allowed to see what we're doing."
"Does Uncle Louis know about this?" Amy asked.
"He's the one that taught us about chemical combinations," Ponzi smirked, his bronze face glowing.
"We're just doing our own science experiments. The professor keeps sending in the supplies."
"Now get yourselves somewhere else," Odin demanded. "This is private property."
Paradise doesn't have private property," Zahir reminded him.
"Well, I do," Odin told him.
"We don't want to endanger anyone else," Ponzi piped up with a comical grin. "We're doing some testing here and it could be dangerous to other Tinies. It stings if it gets on your skin." He spoke firmly. "So we're going to have to ask you to leave before we let the next one off."
"Uncle Louis needs to know about this," Amy frowned.
"See if I care," Odin taunted.
Zahir took Amy's hand and pulled her away with him. No sooner were they out of the trees when they heard laughter and another ping. Turning around quickly, Amy whispered to Zaheer, "Let's go see if something fell." Running back into the woods, they scoured the ground for unusual objects, keeping a safe distance away from Odin and Pontsi's workset. As they diligently searched the forest for anything that might explain the noise, they could hear Odin and Pontsi boasting about their experiments.
"Those pebbles were great," Odin said.
"We are definitely hitting something," Pontsi agreed. "I love the ping."
"There really is a professor. We'll see if he hears it," Odin chuckled. "Maybe he'll show his face."
I doubt we'll see him," Pontsi argued.
"Evan maybe, but not the professor." "Let's try and do one more before Louis comes to shut us down," Odin urged. "Got to do as much damage as we can while we still have a chance. If we do something big, the professor will have to come and fix it."
"Heh," Pontsi snickered. "Then we'll see if he's real or not." He held up a handful of stones. "We have 5 more pebbles. Want to put in 3 at once?"
"Nah, let's do all 5. Louis will be here any minute."
With a look of alarm, Amy glanced up at Zaheer. He looked back with concern.
"Let's go," he mouthed.
Trying to escape from the forest without a noise, Amy and Zaheer slid under the trees and hightailed it toward Uncle Louis's house. They hoped Uncle Louis would be there. Banging on the door of his single-story wooden house, they soon determined no one was home. They raced to the store, but Nancy and Milan didn't know where he was, and were busy preparing spinach and tomato quiche for everyone's dinner that night. Following the stone road down to the lake, they came across Charlie, Santa, and Kenzie, who were working in the garden picking fruit. But no one had seen Uncle Louis. They checked the beach, without success. They even checked the outhouse. Finally, Amy suggested climbing Rainbow Hill, where they could see all around. Uncle Louis was coming down the pathway as they ran up.
"You both look worried," he observed. "Is everything okay?" "Have you heard the pings?" Amy asked. "They're coming from the North Forest."
"No," he said, frowning. "Are Odin and Pontsi at it again?" Amy nodded frantically.
"They are planning to do another one with 5 pebbles this time," Zaheer relayed.
5 pebbles? Is that what they're using?" Without another word, Uncle Louis started running toward the forest. Amy and Zaheer followed.
"They want to do damage," Amy called out as they dashed down the hill and across the meadow. "I heard them say that. They want to see if the professor will come and fix it."
"This is serious," Uncle Louis said. "We have to stop them." As the 3 of them came around Rose's Hill, they heard a succession of pings.
"They are hitting something for sure," Uncle Louis stated angrily. "What are they thinking?"
Marching into the woods, Uncle Louis met the boys as they were quickly closing up their jars of supplies.
"Do you have any idea of what you're doing?" he confronted them angrily.
No one had ever seen Uncle Louis so angry before.
"We're just experimenting," Odin said proudly.
Suddenly, Amy spotted a pebble lying nearby. She picked it up.
"With these?" she asked. "We want to see just how far we can shoot the pebbles," Pontsi smiled. "When we hear one hit something, we know we've had good success."
Uncle Louis was furious, but he didn't want to say or do anything that might betray the professor's ideals for paradise. He decided he needed time to think and confer with the professor.
"Both of you are coming with me," he fumed. "I'm not sure what to do with either of you, but for now you have lost your freedom. You will be kept under my supervision."
As they walked out of the forest, Uncle Louis wasn't sure how he would keep an eye on the reckless young men and managed to get to the control cave to talk to the professor. But somehow he knew he was going to have to pull it off. Rain began falling from the sky. Generally, rain only fell at night. And there was a strange, muffled beeping sound that echoed in the distance. All of them looked up in surprise. Uncle Louis had never heard the noise before, but at the moment, his attention was fully on the troublemakers. "Zaheer," Uncle Louis said, turning to him with a red face, "can you please gather all those supplies and take them back to the store? Tell Nancy she is not allowed to trade these chemicals for anything or to anyone unless she asks my permission first." Then he added sharply, "Have them locked away in a secret place." Amy and Zaheer exchanged anxious glances as they ran to get carry carts to transport the supplies. They knew the situation must be serious for Uncle Louis to take away freedom and lock up supplies.